season, along with all the strife in the world, overwhelming and grief striking at moments to affect grief relief by myself. It stands not to reason. Oh, how to hide from this external drumming and bombing, from countries and regions at war, from social media with never-ending tweets, from information and disinformation bombarding. This used to be a worshipful season, going within to reach the Almighty, to reflect and sing gratefulness and brotherly love. And now these are acts almost treasonous. I long, I need, I require to go within, where peace abides and love reigns supreme. So anchored, even a small dot of light, like the quote, little, that little candle can throw its beams, can shine a good thought in a naughty world. Enough good thoughts, or I'll wait the strife, causing the strength of light frequency to grow and prevail. I long, I need, I shall go within and let my light unfurl. Amen.
Wow. What an
Elizabeth,
invitation.
That is love. Everything that you said is about love. That's loving, and it's loving yourself. That's what was so beautiful, that you came around through a whole transition of understanding that that's outside of you, and what is inside of you is so important. Okay? I'm so happy you shared that. That was so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I have not noticed that. And you're bringing that realization to me. Thank you so much.
That's why Charlotte's class is so important, because we sit here and we listen to each other, and then we're able to share the emotional touch that happens. And then you get to see your own work in a new light sometimes. And then you say, wow, I didn't even see that about my own writing. And so that's why I cherish being in her group. It's always edifying in the emotional area for me.
Thank you. Thank you. That's true.
When you said you found it, I was thinking of the poem that Ramona read. It's one of those things hiding in your drawer, hiding in your computer. Gerald, too, looking, oh my goodness, look at this treasure I found in here. I forgot I wrote it.
I love your poem about love. Thank you.
Thank you.
I as well remember a period of, let's call it, depression. And the Christmas season, it seemed like everyone's so happy. Why am not I not happy? Everybody else is so happy. What's that? What am I doing wrong here? And I remember the time, this went on for a while, another Christmas season, I got into songs. And since a child, I've always loved Christmas songs. And sometimes, especially those that is just instrumental. No words, no nothing, just let me feel this song. And my favorite is one called O Emmanuel. But the whole point is, it's all the songs. Take the words out. Just let me feel this. And that's what poetry does as well. I listened to you, and I felt so much. Some of you may have seen me start to, because I'm a very emotional person, and I try to hide that sometimes. But I'm learning to just let it out. I can cry if I want to.
Yes.
So, anyway, thank you.
And you touched on that in your poem. You said, oh, wait a minute. Men aren't supposed to be doing that. I don't know what you're doing there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so good, because we write poetry, I think, for self-awareness, first of all. And then we're trying to help other people become aware of something. Just like he said, just standing there, and there, here's a spider coming down in your face on a web, or I mean on a little thread, a silken thread, and you're sitting there going, how are you doing that? That's the first thing you think of. And then Neil took us on a whole journey away from that moment, so that he and the spider were were talking to each other in a sense. She wasn't speaking verbally, but we have to understand that's how the spirit works anyway. It doesn't work verbally, and that's what you're saying. What do you need the words all the time? You do not. You do not always need the words.
Speaking of words, I'm going to share a poem with you. It's from a collection that I'm doing called Soaring Through the 70s. And that's the 70s, you know, I've gone in this decade, I'm in the 70s decade. So this poem is called What If and We, and it's a call and response poem. What if you looked inside your mind and dared to unwind your beautiful dreams? What if you looked inside your thoughts and scrubbed things with a negative ring? What if you dared to climb the ladder all the way to the top and put new light bulbs in the ceiling above? What if when they say, we need someone to deliver a meal to someone shut in, you said, I'm the one? What if when you saw people picking on the new person on the scene, you stepped up and said, stop, that's my friend? What if you decided to draw and paint the flowers you see from within? What if you took a mustard seed of faith and let it grow into mountain-scaling power? What if you decided that throwing away useful things needs to end and would be better to give them to someone who could use them within an hour? What if you looked around your neighborhood and found fences you could mend, sending bolts of hope that it could look new again? What if we looked inside our hearts and found they have fountains of endless love? What if we opened those fountains, let love pour out and extinguish flames of anger, hatred, or prejudice as gently as a dove? What if our names and fame became associated with creating heaven on earth? What if we did the simple thing of sharing smiles that boosts self-worth? What if? What if? What if? Thank you.
Charlotte, now you have to write a sequel to that. The answer, what if?
Well, we got some writers in the house. Okay, each person has done one. We will go back around if both Gerald and Neil have a second poem. Would either of you like to volunteer to be first?
May I share my thoughts on your poem, Charlotte?
Certainly.
I just want to say it would be a wonderful world if all of us did all the things that we said, what if? And it reminded me of that, you know, walking up to the person who's new in the room. I used to keep doing that when I was a professor at the Bombay University. You know, new professors, when they come in and they don't know anyone else. And I always made it a point to, you know, be their friend and make them feel comfortable. And it really made a difference to, you know, their whole attitude ongoing. So I really loved all the suggestions you gave us through your poem. Thank you, Charlotte.
Well, thank you. I have done that poem as a call and response where if it's kids, I'll mark them and we will alternately do the lines. And then I did it at a business meeting and the people where they were recruiting volunteers. And that idea of when they said we need someone to, or with children, that line about when you see someone beating up on someone and you step in and just simply say, stop, you know, that's my friend, or stop, you can do that. So I've had some fun with that poem.
What I really liked about that line is it doesn't have to be anybody that you know, but that's my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I like I think that's one of the things, like with Elizabeth's thoughts, that's, it seemed like the world's beginning to notice. Bullying is a horrible thing. Look at my childhood, and I said, oh my God, that was a horrible period. And no one stepped in. I mean, I was in this horrible, I call it horrible, ghetto or what have you. But what if someone had stepped in and just said that?
Yeah. You can imagine the effect on the person that's being abused.
Yeah.
And called a friend.
Yeah.
I love that. That is so profound.
And yours, Neil, I remember, for example, myself, I was writing at a computer once in my home, my daughter's house, rather, and a spider came down, and I looked at it, and I just kept typing. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Daddy, kill that thing, kill that thing." And I was like, "Why?" You know, I said, "Maybe you should know go in the bathroom. There's another one in there too." You know, I don't kill things. I was kind of explaining, but she talked me into. I said, "That's your fear. That spider's not after you, but you know, whatever."
Charlotte, ready? You ready for another poem?
I'm ready.
I have one. Let me just call it up here. This is dedicated to James Lovelock, who was a scientist, philosopher, and he's the man who brought us the Gaia principle that the Earth is a living, conscious being. It's called Gaia. Experience by experience, we learn. Experience by experience, we become aware. Experience by experience, we grow in wisdom. And there are at present 7 billion of us having experiences. Each one of us having his or her own individual experience. And little by little, the knowledge, the awareness, and the wisdom grows. Collectively, we are having all possible experiences, from horror upon horror to divine love and compassion, from soul-wrenching abuse to unconditional love. We have experiences. Maybe, just maybe, our reason for living, our reason we are so different from all the other living beings on this planet, is to contribute awareness, to contribute knowledge, and to contribute wisdom that arises from the billions upon billions of experiences. As the dominant species on this planet, our job is to bring consciousness to all the experiences we can have in a lifetime, so that our evolutionary process, Gaia, began 24 billion years ago, can continue. We have done our job and set the scene. The next step in the long and unending process of evolution, the next step in the process for Gaia and the universe, is becoming aware of itself. There was an axiom: nothing can stand in the way of progress. It should be written that nothing can stand in the way of evolution. We are not in charge. Mother Earth is. Thank you.
Yes. I like that concept of Gaia. It's new to me, and it's coming to me now. Three different people have brought it to my attention. And I'm saying, okay, and this guy, I said, now he's doing it again. So I've got to look into that. And so I will be. The other idea of, the idea of oneness came to my mind too when you were speaking. Plus, first of all, I like your voice. You have a sweet voice in terms of the way you delivered that. But the thing is, we're all have almost in our all 7 billion people, we're all in our own world. Yes. But there's still only one world. So we've got to come together and recognize our unity and oneness. And so you brought up so much. So thank you so much.
Thank you, George. Gerald, thank you, Gerald.
I get called a lot of things. I'll accept George too.
The man who leads my Monday poetry meeting group is named George. So actually, that's a compliment.
All right, thank you.
I remember George. Yes. Thank you, Neil. You always, as he says, your voice is comforting, and we become lulled into the spirit of where you go with the poems that you speak. And so I want you to know that it seems like you have evolved since the last poetry that I used to hear from you. Not that it's a better, it's just different. And I enjoy the season that you're in with the poetry that you're doing. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, thank you, Janice. In 10 days, today's the 14th, in 9 days, I'll be celebrating my 84th birthday.
Congratulations.
And I'm hoping that I'm growing in wisdom as we go through these year by year by year. I mentioned to Jesse that he and I didn't finish an interview that I started a year ago, November. And that's when I went and took a motorhome and drove south to California to sell my book called From the Other Side. And I drove.
Congratulations.
I drove through Arizona and through California and Oregon and just the meeting people on the street. I would sell my book on the street in San Francisco. So walking on the beach on the seawall, I just had a world of experiences, and so hopefully, growing in wisdom of the experience that, as Gerald just mentioned, we are all one. We are all one person having a different experience in color, in language, in religion, but we are all the same blood and all the same heart. So those are the gifts that I've been given of late. So I'm looking forward to the 24th of February.
And we're looking forward to doing a birthday celebration with you. But we will go talk with Jesse and we'll see when we're able to do that. Right now, Gerald has got something, a new thing that he is doing and is going to share. Gerald, maybe you could mention too how your publishing connects in.
Well, I started a publishing company, but right now all its books are mine, but it's really a desire to grow a media organization that just puts out positive, beautiful things to impact our world. And I've got one more very brief poem or writing, if you got a minute, if I can take, if you'd like me to do that. I'd love to do that.
We'd love to hear it.
I got my book ready, Gerald. I'll be calling you.
Okay. Let me read this right quick. It's very, very brief. It starts out with a song lyric. It says, "You are never alone. No one else is here, but this is necessary for you to learn that you are never alone." It's called The Voice Within. I am 9 years of age in the fourth grade at Raymond Elementary School on the south side of Chicago. It is a morning where I found myself running across the playground during recess. Suddenly a voice says to me, "I love you so dearly." I stop. I take a moment to just listen. It is so pleasant. As I look around the playground, in a way, I see no one. Another world has opened. I am the only one here with this voice. Time has ceased. Then I continue playing on the playground, running around amid so many kids. Later that evening, I initiate the dialogue. I bet you say that to everyone, I begin. Yes, but you hear me, says the voice. The end.
Wow.
What a lovely meeting today, filled with love. Thank you for that poem, Gerald.
Thank you. And thank you, Sister Charlotte. This was awesome. And thank you, Jess. Actually, thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Ramona. It's awesome.
Thank you to the universe that, you know, sometimes I'll be sleeping and it feels like something is going, wake up, wake up, wake up. What? It says pop up, because we were trying to plan a lot of things that are happening in Vancouver right now. I have some people with new plays that people have asked me to interview. Jesse has public affairs, but also there's a different speak up every day of the week. Mine is speak up, act up, listen upon what you've heard. And one of the things that I want to say in concluding as a Valentine's poem is happiness of having our friendship. Happiness is a word so simple it seems it's the substance of many people's dreams. Having a friend like you guys, brings joy for sure. Makes me happy today and forevermore. Friendship is a gift from God to enjoy. It's sweeter than fruitcake, more permanent than an expensive toy. Happiness comes from balancing life's ups and downs. It blossoms with daily smiles, not constant frowns. You are such a rich source of smiles, thoughts, and care. It keeps me from doing crazy stuff on a dare. Happiness is knowing our lives go on without end. You have helped forge a link better than money to spend. Eternally through spirit, our extended family is assured. Our kinship and friendship and love will be fully treasured. That's a special love to you guys for playing along with the pop-up. We do want to have a pop-up to celebrate Neil's birthday and for you to hear about this journey. I was in Los Angeles when this guy, when it was pouring raining, drove a 20-foot house on the 405 at 60 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
Every day that Neil was in Los Angeles, because, you know, they have these places where you can hook up and you can, you know, leave your vehicle. He asked me, where is the Walmart? He parked, dared to park at the Walmart parking lots, some of the other store parking lots. Ralph's, he stayed at Ralph's. The second night they told him, don't you see the sign that says people can't park here? And then the security guard went inside. He told him, give him a little time to move. And he came out and he brought him a sandwich and some coffee. So a few of us in this group of filmmakers, but I could see us making the film with Gerald's things that talk to you, Elizabeth and Ramona talking about things that hide. Janice is also an artist and a photographer. We have a whole company here that we can do. Look at when we'll do the pop-ups, the luau shows and other things in this very creative city.
Thank you, Charlotte, for making it possible for all of us to meet and talk like we used to. And if there was time, I would have sung a line or two to, you know, just bring some different cheer into the meeting, which is wonderful.
Do we have a couple of minutes to hear her song?
Totally.
All right.
This is Nat King Cole. Song
the very thought of you, but I'm just gonna sing it then without the karaoke background. The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, and foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love. Thank you. I'm going to end it there.
I want to thank you, Jesse, for you have many things to do with your day. And thank you for this experiment. We don't know how it's going to turn out. We know we have access to the podcast we used to do. It was broadcast and hosted on YouTube. This is going on to YouTube. When will people be able to see it?
It is live right now. So it'll be on your page, an hour or so after we finish recording.
Could you tell them what my page is?
Yes, just a moment. If you look up Charlotte Sistacy Farrell on YouTube, you will get to the account. And I'll just see if I can get the actual. It is a long string of numbers, but if you look up at Charlotte Sistacy Farrell, then you'll find the account on YouTube.
Okay. And will it just be the audio, or will it be audio and visual?
It'll be the whole thing, audio, video.
Okay. So as you all ventured out with this first of our pop-ups, we'll be asking you for ideas, maybe sometime have some planning to all the different things that we can generate. So we don't have any things left around of ours stuck in shoes, hidden in drawers, or being controlled by something in our computer that's saying, use me, I'm here. I think it is running on to our time to end. I thank you people who on Friday listen and look at the ways that poetry can bless your heart. Look at the ways that you might want to join us the next time we do have a pop-up. And when people ask me what time it is, even though my show is at 10 a.m. Pacific every Friday, I always say it's love time, poem time.
Love time. Poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine, love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme, love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place.